This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
The cruise industry is back. Would you feel comfortable taking a cruise? Would you go? I'll tell you what the requirements are. More warnings of lockdowns coming our way. I don't like that because I don't think we need them. And five women potentially on the president's shortlist for the Supreme Court. Welcome back. An hour of nonstop talk for you. Thanks for being here. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in on all of these issues today. It's great to have you with us today, every single day. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's lockdown lawsuit victory may cure a plague of pandemic restrictions. J.D. Tichilli writing over at Reason.com this issue that a federal judge has ruled that Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's lockdown orders are unconstitutional, as you know, and it offers hope. Hope, not just to the beleaguered residents of the state, but to all Americans suffering under similar impositions, that the end may be near in terms of these lockdowns, even if the coronavirus numbers come back, that they just can't arbitrarily force us to close our businesses and stay at home. Quote from the judge, the Constitution cannot accept the concept of a new normal, where the basic liberties of the people can be subordinated to an open-ended emergency mitigation measures, wrote the U.S. District Court Judge William S. Stickman IV. There's a case brought by a coalition of cities, counties, and businesses. He says, rather, the Constitution sets certain limits that may not be crossed, even in an emergency. Actions taken by defendants cross the lines. It is the duty of the court to declare these actions unconstitutional. In particular, the judge found that Governor Tom Wolf's limits on gatherings run afoul of the First Amendment protections for assembly rights. Stay-at-home orders violate the substantive due process guarantees of the 14th Amendment. And arbitrary business closures violate the due process and equal protection clauses of the 14th Amendment. The judge said, the fact is, lockdowns imposed across the United States in early 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic are unprecedented in the history of the Commonwealth and the country. They have never been used in response to any other disease in our history. There's no sense debating a ruling that will be appealed, said the governor. But what's not up for debate is that our early and decisive actions save lives. You know what? Here's the thing, too. If you want to save lives, there's lots of action you can take. I could be governor and order that nobody's allowed to drive a car. I would dramatically reduce the number of auto fatalities. I could be governor and announce that I'm banning people from doing from drinking alcohol. I mean, I could probably reduce fatalities there, too. Lots of things I can do. I can just issue a lockdown order. You must stay at home. A shelter-in-place stay-at-home order. And then look at the data and go, but I saved lives. Lives are saved. It doesn't follow, though, that that's why lives were saved. It doesn't. One does not relate to the other. A lockdown does not mean lives were saved. Lockdowns, and despite the huge costs they entailed, have not had any obvious payoff in terms of fewer COVID-19 deaths, according to Reason's Jacob Sullum, after reviewing international examples and recent research. It would not be the first time that people have exaggerated the potency of government action while ignoring everything else, like the cost to our freedom. The economic toll of the lockdowns is beyond dispute. In the wake of COVID-19 cases increasing and local restrictions continuing to change in many states, we're seeing both permanent and temporary closures rise across the nation, with 60% of those closed businesses not reopening. 97,000 966 businesses permanently closed, according to Yelp and the local economic impact report. Restaurants, bars, and nightlife venues considered non-essential, widely subject to the toughest restrictions, are especially hard hit. The ongoing public health crisis will continue to weigh on economic activity, employment, and inflation in the near term and poses considerable risk to the economic outlook over the medium term, according to the Federal Reserve from their September 16th warning. Now that we're heading to the fall in just a matter of hours, and we've got a lot now of people discussing more lockdowns headed our way, will this judge's ruling be a wake-up call for other governors and other mayors around the country? Not so fast. Doubt it. Unfortunately, I doubt it. I don't think that it'll matter to them. I wish I could tell you that it will, but I don't think it will, unfortunately. I think the reality is that they're so hungry and desperate for power. The Department of Labor noted 860,000 initial unemployment claims for the week ending September 12th. While that's much improved from the record numbers reached during the early days of pandemic fears and lockdowns, it's still brutal. There were 174,000 initial claims in the comparable week in 2019. Think about that. 860,000 this year, same week last year, 174,000. And I'm rounding up, by the way. Undoubtedly, some businesses would have folded and jobs would have been lost anyway in the absence of mandatory closures as people chose to stay home and minimize their risk of exposure. But it's unlikely that the economic damage of voluntary actions would have been as wide-reaching or as lingering as the ones from the government's own actions, because those came with administrative penalties, fines, and arrests. And while the specifics of lockdown orders have varied from place to place, many U.S. states have imposed such penalties to enforce restrictions that Judge Stickman points out are unprecedented. Actions taken that are unprecedented. The governor says these actions were necessary to save lives. In Michigan, a judge heard oral arguments in a lawsuit over the constitutionality of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's notoriously intrusive and arbitrary lockdown orders. The Mackinac Center Legal Foundation says the governor unconstitutionally gave herself unprecedented unilateral power to extend her own state of emergency, a move that was harmful to Michiganders across the state. Other officials face similar lawsuits of their own. And while some of the worst restrictions have since been lifted, there was the case in Pennsylvania, too. Judge Stickman moved forward with his decision anyway because relief was at the whim of the governor and citizens remained subject to reimposition of the most severe provisions at any time. Like in New Jersey, for example, which amazes me that we have the lowest case numbers in New Jersey we've ever had. Hospitalizations are at the lowest they've ever been. Lowest death rates, and still Governor Phil Murphy has his arbitrary powers. Absolute power. And you know why? You know what his argument is? If I relinquish my power, the virus will come back, hospitalizations will rise, people will die. And somehow it's acceptable for these governors to still maintain the arbitrary totalitarian powers because the theory is that if I give them up, you'll die, he'll die, we'll all die. And the judge said the Constitution cannot accept the concept of a new normal. And he's right. It can't. That's why we have a Constitution. The stakes are high with COVID-19 threatening to become a long-term addition to human life. And some public health types insisting that pandemic restrictions should also be a semi-permanent fixture. It is completely understandable that many are tiring of restrictions due to COVID-19. Unfortunately, their resolve is weakening right when we need it to harden, said Adam Carroll, a professor at Indiana University School of Medicine. It is much more likely that life in 2021, especially in the first half of the year, will need to look much like life does now. So you're going to have to keep your eyes on the courts because the courts are the last stop we have here to rein in these governors because these governors have decided that as long as the virus is out there and until we have a 90% effective rate against the vaccine, they're never going to give it up, ever. They're not going to consult the legislative branch of government. They're not going to ask the people what they want. Like Governor Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania is going to veto a bill that would give local school districts control over their own sports, whether they play sports, spectators, how many people attend games, etc. What amazes me is how many people are okay with this. Terry's in King of Prussia. Good morning, Terry.
morning, Rich. Thanks for taking a call. Now, I know a lot of times I get passionate when I'm talking about these things, but I'd like to say that you look at Florida, for an example. Now, he had said that he's not going to get anywhere near New York, but he surpassed them in the cases, okay? Not the deaths, because I think now, I don't think, I know that the doctors and scientists, they've figured out ways of treating us when we do get sick, so they're not losing as many people. But right there is an example of just do the right thing. You know, we didn't have to...
Let me ask you a question. Why are you guys so okay with one governor taking absolute total control and putting the legislative branch out of the equation?
But Rich, what I was going to say to you was...
No, answer my question, please. Why are you okay with these governors going around the Constitution and claiming absolute power over us because there's a virus out there? Why are you okay with that?
Because I think that, the president dropped the ball.
No, forget the president.
What else are we going to do?
Why are these governors allowed to ignore the legislatures, ignore the will of the people, and just do whatever they want without any regard to checks and balances?
I don't think that they're ignoring the will of the people because they did the right thing. They have saved lives. And it had the
Governor Tom Wolf is going to veto a bipartisan bill that gives local school districts local say in whether or not they have sports and who gets to come and watch the sports. Why is he vetoing that bill?
Excuse me, Rich, but he's looking out for the good of the people, unlike DeSantis or Trump. Mm-hmm. I love guys like you
that love totalitarianism under the guise of it saves lives.
I love that.
You're
Rich.
All about totalitarianism. You love Rich. Totalitarian tyrants, Terry.
Rich, can I talk?
No, I'm tired of this. Have a good day. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Nah, it's the same thing with you every time. I just think you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, Terry. You call up every time and accuse Trump of being a dictator. Every time. You call up the show constantly and tell me that Trump is a dictator. And then you applaud these governors for literally being dictators and shutting down the checks and balance system that we have in this country, ignoring the legislatures, doing whatever the hell they want, locking people down arbitrarily, taking away their due process rights, telling them they can't go to church, they can't go to work, they can't worship the way they want, they can't go to funerals, can't go to weddings. And you applaud that stuff. Well, it saves lives. And then the next breath, you tell me Trump's a dictator. Give me a break, man. Be consistent for 5 seconds of your life, and then maybe I'll keep you on the phone longer. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Rick is in Cherry Hill. Rick, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Rich. I was going to say the insane, inane worship of RBG, I think is related to the fact that these justices and many judges, not just justices on the Supreme Court, are injecting themselves into policymaking. And when you legislate from the bench, what else can you do but hold up these people for the quote-unquote saints that they're not? I mean, to me, she was RBG was a craven hack, and she didn't even hide it. So I am very far away from the same thing.
Well, I mean, look, you can certainly say nice things about the woman's life, right? But the idea that she's so exalted and saintly, like Chuck Schumer said, and so therefore we should ignore the Constitution and give her her dying wish. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you do in third world countries where you think your rulers are like Kim Jong-un. They're exalted deities. And whatever they say, even in the afterlife, becomes the way we should conduct policy. That's
right.
Crazy.
This is the kind of stuff that your previous caller would have could probably agrees with. But my point was, if judges did the judge thing and didn't inject themselves into policymaking, there would be no saintly judges. There would just be judges.
And that's the way it should be. That would be great. That's my wish. My wish is that we did not put so much thinking into the Supreme Court. It was just another form of government. But
that's,
it will be a great day when that happens. But... Rick, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Yeah, look, I mean, the way Chuck Schumer sounds about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it is. It's like Kim Jong-un. I mean, she's a deity, and her dying wishes should be respected. We should conduct policy around this woman's dying wishes. Saintly Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, Bill, play it again for me, will you, Chuck Schumer? Because now I'm annoyed, because Terry annoyed me. Play that clip of Chuck Schumer again.
And we only need two more senators to say that they will abide by RBG's wish. Two have already said it, we need two more. So Americans, if you care about all these rights, if you don't want big, powerful, wealthy, special interests to turn the clock back, 100 years even, please, our fervent wish is that you call your senator and say, abide by the wishes of this saintly, brilliant, caring woman. And let's have an election, let's see the results, and then let us choose somebody on the Supreme Court.
We don't conduct policy that way in this country. Okay, that's not what we do. We don't have one person who's so exalted like a deity that their dying wish is how we usurp the United States Constitution. That's insanity. Come on. Just like we don't have a situation in our country where governors are supposed to be absolute monarchs running the show 24/7 just because there's a virus out there. We don't turn around and say somebody's so beloved and exalted like Evita that we're just going to turn around and say, well, forget the Constitution. Whatever this person wanted in their life and in their death is how we'll conduct policy. Come on. That's craziness. And by the way, the same people saying this are the exact same people every 5 minutes saying Trump is a dictator, a totalitarian fascist dictator. Meanwhile, they applaud totalitarian fascist governors literally now governors who have decided that as long as there's a virus, they are unilaterally in charge. Unilaterally in charge. The central role of government will be done right through Harrisburg. That, you know, the definition of fascism is actually a strong central government. In and of itself, there's not a negative connotation to it, right? It's a strong central government. It's something I totally disagree with, the concept of that. But when you say why is somebody a fascist, it's not, it's an insult. It's literally a form of government. It is an ism, like liberalism. It's an ism. And I don't mean liberalism in the sense of being a liberal. I mean of our system of government, which is a liberal system of government. Fascism is that. Strong central government. That's what Mussolini wanted. He called all the shots. He made all the rules. He was the one guy in charge. That system, that mindset of government is not a mindset of government the United States of America is supposed to embrace. Not from mayors, not from governors, not from superintendents of schools. It's not what we do in this country. And yet we're doing it all over the place. I bet you didn't know that about fascism, did you? Now, Bill, can you play my back to school song? Because I feel like this is appropriate now that I'm educating people. Hold on, baby, I'm taking you back to school.
Yeah. Now, it's time to go back to school with Rich Zeoli.
Ah, you see, now you didn't know that fascism was actually a form of government, did you? A form of authoritarian ultranationalism, dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition. I love that song. Thank you very much for that, Bill. I appreciate that. Now, you see, now you know more on this show than anybody else. Hey, our big story of the day today is the Supreme Court, and what's going to happen with the Supreme Court is brought to you by IT Landis. IT Landis is terrific, and they're going to make sure that you save some money. And I'm going to tell you about that as soon as I find, yes, here it is. IT Landis home service team for all your home comfort needs. Upgrade to a new Carrier heating system or get big rebates, 0% financing. Trust IT Landis home service team. Home service better since 1929. Visit itlandis.com. And I talk about a lot of these stories. I give you the lowdown on things and, my analysis. That's what you're also going to get at Newsmax, by the way. Newsmax TV. I watch Newsmax a lot. It's America's new conservative cable news channel, and it just broke records. ComScore reports that last month, almost 10 million cable viewers tuned in to watch Newsmax. Another 8 million people watched on streaming devices. Newsmax is at the cutting edge of the media revolution. You need to check out Newsmax TV, especially Greg Kelly Reports. Greg is a former Marine. He's a combat veteran and a former White House correspondent. And every night this week, Greg Kelly is exposing the big media's lies about President Trump. You can get Newsmax. It's on all the cable systems, and you can download the app for free and watch on your smartphone. That's right. You don't have to pay for it. It's great. Amazon Fire, watch it there. Apple TV. Tune into Newsmax tonight for great shows. Greg Kelly, Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Alan Dershowitz, and more. Newsmax is real news for real people.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Snowbuddy Gal says, Greg Stocker, you should have a supply of Snickers bars on hand for whenever I take Terry's calls. Hashtag fired up. Thank you for that, Snowbunny Gal. It is true. I'm also a little tired today because the power went out mysteriously in the middle of the night, which was weird because we're all sound asleep. You got the sound machines on, and then the power goes out, and all of a sudden you wind up waking up because of the silence because you don't hear anything.
There was no storms last night, though, right?
I know. That's what's so weird about it. I went down, I checked all the breakers and everything like that, and couldn't figure it out, but there was a power outage, and then... So, but that's like all of a sudden you wake up and you go, why is it so quiet?
That's the worst.
It's honestly the worst, right?
Yes, yes. And I haven't realized that until having a child, which is what you told me, but I never experienced it until having a child. But like with his sound machine on, our sound machine on, the baby crying, like when there's silence, you're like, what is wrong?
Yeah, so you instantly wake up and go, wait, what? What? Yep. Wait, yep. What? I can't even imagine what life was like before electricity, how quiet things must have been. There's always sort of like an electric hum out there, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
That check-in on social media brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter. They really do matter. Go see them right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill and say hello. They'd love to see you. And they have 0% financing in all 2020 and 2021 models. Now, Greg, would you go on a cruise?
No. I wouldn't. Let me just say this. I wouldn't. I went on a cruise in 2007. It was awful, and I never want to do it again. No, I wouldn't have gone on a cruise before a pandemic, let alone during one or, you know, the aftermaths of one. So, no.
Really?
Yeah. I just like the idea of being trapped on a boat with a bunch of people and
trapped. You can always jump off and swim.
That's true.
Always make a swim for it.
That's true.
Like Ilian Gonzalez, you can always pull, you know.
When I go on vacation, I want to be around less people, not more people. You know what I mean? So, you know, like I'll find a cabin in the woods or a beach spot that is, you know, desolate and I'll stay there.
We're all shocked by that. That on your vacation, you want to get even further away from people.
I just don't like people very much.
Bill, would you go on a cruise?
Not right away.
Not right away.
Yeah, I would need to wait and see how everything. Because to Greg's point, like I'm not claustrophobic, but I would get panicky if they said you can't leave this ship.
Right.
While we're figuring out if someone. And has
so COVID. Here's my problem of why I can't do a cruise. First of all, the buffets. I don't like buffets, but that's not even a big part of it.
Yeah.
On the cruise ship, you have to wear masks.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on vacation having to wear a mask.
Especially poolside.
Right. And you walking around the cruise, that is your vacation. For me, having to be masked up on my vacation, walking around, it's the last thing I want to do. Yeah. Where versus I can rent a house, have the whole house to myself, right? And not have to worry about doing that. That, to me, is the biggest downside right there. Also, they're saying now, I have the story here. They're saying there's going to be temperature checks. Temperature checks are useless to deciding who's got coronavirus, right?
I love this story, by the way. What is this? This is the Wall Street Journal, right?
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And this, you know, every day we come here, damn it, I forgot again.
I was going to ask you, did you remember?
Kidding? Oh, my God, I forgot again. You need to go back home, honestly.
I really do, right?
Yeah.
I forgot to feed the meter again, too.
Well, you have 6 minutes, so you're good on that.
I got 6 minutes to do it?
Because it starts at 8.
Temperature is not a good litmus test for coronavirus, doctors say. So, you know, they say across the country, every day you got to check your temperature, right?
Yes.
You go to play, my kid goes to play soccer, they got to check the temperature, school check the temperature. We come into our workplace here, you got to check the temperature. But what they're saying is it's not very reliable.
It's not reliable at all. It's not because, you know, like where a lot of, you know, symptoms from the coronavirus are fevers. It's not the first symptom. So you could be already contagious with it or have it and not have a fever. I mean, there's plenty of cases where that has happened.
Yes. Let me say this. You know what the biggest thing that I fear in terms of public health? You know how they say coronavirus can spread through your waste?
Uh-oh.
You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
And now they're doing things to check out the coronavirus levels in wastewater.
Yeah.
How many toilets in public places have lids on them? When you flush that baby, it's like a whirlwind. Is it not?
It is.
It's a whirlwind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I read a story the other day in the New York Times from a Harvard professor who says the biggest problem we've got to worry about right now is not the temperature, not the temperature checks. It's public toilets that don't have lids on them, because what you're doing is that you're going into a bathroom and you're flushing and it's like a helicopter. Talk about airborne transmission.
I know.
They might have closed water parks, but it's not fully closed in the bathroom. Yeah,
right?
I mean, that is awful. Like that's 100% true, too, because if you're, you know, especially
close
if you do like
the lid. Listen to this. You're going to love this, Greg. Research has shown that lidless toilets increase the risk of bacteria and larger particles escaping into the air. They settle out into adjacent surfaces, creating a fomite hazard. Washington Post op-ed, Harvard professor wrote this: when you flush a toilet, the churning and bubbling of water aerosolizes the you-know-what, which creates particles that will float in the air, which we will now politely call bioaerosols for the rest of the article. And the bioaerosols go all over you. And guess where they also go? On your mask.
Yep. Oh, God.
And they lay there on your mask.
Yeah.
How many places have the lids on? We don't have them here. Well,
I was going to ask. I know in the one bathroom, the public bathroom there's not. But in those private bathrooms, is there lids on there?
I don't know. I'm not a corporate shill. I don't get a private bathroom. No,
he's talking about the morning drive host.
I should put that in my next contract, the private bathroom.
He's referring to the ones that we were not privileged enough to get it, but the people at the Whip.
Oh, the Whip have their own, yes,
their
private washrooms.
They have two
yes.
solid ones. I believe they're the same setup. They don't
They probably have lids on them, but the public, where the masses go, no lids. No lids on those.
That's disgusting.
So to me, it seems like corporate America is also going to have to address that fact at some point when they start bringing people back to the workplace, right?
Yes. And a lot of the places, especially the offices in the city, they have those, and we had that issue as well, where they have those energy-saving toilets.
Yeah,
where They don't flush anything, and they're constantly getting clogged. So you're actually flushing it more. So more stuff is coming up in the
Think of the stupidity of where we were back in January, February. Yep. This is America's biggest problems: plastic straws, plastic bags, and making sure that we had toilets that used 2 tablespoons of water to flush. And all of that now is caught up and bit us in the you know what.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's over.
It's caught up to us, all of this. And these temperature checks now, they say an adult's temperature can vary over the course of the day. A researcher at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, they say the average human temperature may be slightly lower and vary based on gender, age, and time of day.
Yes. If you take your temperature first thing in the morning, depending on who you are, it can actually be lower or higher than the rest of the day. So actually, you know, when we take our temperatures in the morning, it's probably not a good read also the heat. Like if it's hot outside and, you know, you've been walking or running or something like that, or you've been in a hot car and you automatically take the temperature, that can affect it too. So it's not that,
The normal human temperature is what, like 98.6 or something like that?
97.5.
My temperature, to Greg's point, when we take our temperature at, you were joking, weren't you?
No, and according to the article.
Because
they published a study, they found the average adult body temperature is actually 97.5 degrees, not 98.6. What they say.
Because my temperature is, to Greg's point about taking it so early in the morning like we do because we're up at 4 in the morning or earlier.
Right.
It's never been more than maybe 97 degrees.
Now, this is the new normal too, which I hate that phrase, new normal. But there's a mom. She got her second grader, right? She has the thermometer right next to her toothbrush, and it's part of her daily routine. Maybe you have kids, and this is what you're going through too. And then you got to take the temperature at home, or you go to the school building and they stand there. So they do in my daughter's school. They stand there and they go, "Okay, now Claire, stand here." And they shoot this thing. It's like any minute now, an assassin. We're gonna find an assassin. The red dot comes on her head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they go, "Okay, you're good. Come on in." And I keep thinking to myself, "You calibrate that thing every day? How do you?" Right? You calibrate that thermometer, and then what's gonna happen in the winter? When people are waiting outside in school to be checked for their temperature, which is naturally going to indicate a lower body temperature, because guess what?
Yep.
They're outside in the freaking winter, right? And then they're going to go, "Oh, you're good. Come on in."
Yep.
It's so dumb.
I went to the dentist yesterday for the first time. Like a doctor, some sort of doctor.
Why do people think Bill's stories? Why does anyone?
He just. Well, tell us your dentist story now.
Well, because they did the same thing. They said, yes. Stay outside. We'll come to you. They actually had a sign that said, do not knock. We see you. And then you walk in and they take the temperature exactly like that.
And then great story, Bill.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn.
Millennial, though, that's great. Your dentist office, did they do that? Which is where they do this everywhere, Bill. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what the thing is, Greg? Bill doesn't want me to out him because what he does is he does his temperature at home, quote unquote at home.
Yes.
I do.
That's a bunch of fugate. Come on.
I swear.
Give me a break.
I will send you a, I will tweet out the thermometer I use every day when I get home today.
Every day, Greg, before he gets in the car at 3 a.m.
I am a good employee.
He takes his temperature every day. You buying that?
No.
No, I'll... I'm not buying that either.
He is a good employee, by the way.
He's a very good employee. He's doing a great job. He really is. He's doing a great job. But I'm calling BS on that whole thing. You know what I mean? That he takes his temperature at home. Yeah, I'm just, I do the home version, the home kit. I love that. Don't you love that? That you could either take it here or do it at home.
I'd rather use my own temperature thermometer.
I agree, because what I don't want to do is be sharing a thermometer with 75 other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about that for a second, too? But this cruise ship stuff is amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
There's not 75 people in that building, by
the way. No, there's not. There's definitely not. But at some point there will be, right? When people come back to work, won't there be?
I mean, you think people are going to come back to work?
No,
I don't. I mean, I don't mean like as a society. I mean like us.
Now, cruise ships, they're going to have to take your temperature before you can get on the cruise. Bill, is someone calling to defend you again? Bill gets his groupies that call up and go, tell Rich to stop being mean to you, millennial. Actually, it sounds like my mother right there. The CEO of Norwegian Cruise Line said resuming cruise operations worldwide, and particularly in the U.S., is the single most important challenge the cruise industry has ever faced. This industry has been decimated. But in order for you to get on a cruise ship now, temperature checks throughout the voyage. Crew will be tested frequently before departing for their home. Temperature checks, face masks will also be compulsory while on board and during excursions whenever physical distancing cannot be maintained. Does anybody want to go on vacation and have to walk around on their vacation wearing a face mask?
No.
I mean, I hate to say it. I feel bad for the industry, but I don't know. I mean, look, if you disagree, if you're one of those people, you can't wait to go cruising again, let me know. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Would love to hear from you. Give me your thoughts on that as we do our hour of nonstop talk. FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel is our sponsor of this hour of nonstop talk. And, you know, sports are back, and I'm so glad sports are back because it's good for America, right? It's great for our economy. It is fantastic. And you've heard me talk about how FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino and their world-class sports betting app, they make it easy to find and place your bets. They got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Constant enhanced odds boost, and they even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. That's $1,000 if you don't win. FanDuel is also providing customers the opportunity to double up your winnings through their exclusive NFL, NBA, and National Hockey League double ups. So this is great. Place a pregame moneyline wager, and if your team scores 35-plus points, you can double your winnings. Max bonus, $50 in site credit, one eligible wager per person. Please go to FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Use my promo code RICH so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, the number one app. You must be 21 and older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studios.
President has said he's down to five names. Five names for the United States Supreme Court. And the final five, as they're being called, very, very smart. All women, by the way. Very smart, including of course, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Here's the president talking about that recently. He was on with Fox News. Take a listen.
I would say on Friday or Saturday, I'll be announcing the pick. Five women are being looked at and vetted very carefully. 5. And we'll make a decision probably Saturday, but Friday or Saturday.
Do you plan to meet with any of them in person before you make your decision?
Yeah, I will.
When do you plan to do that?
During this period of time.
Do you think all 5?
I don't know. I doubt it.
But in person.
I doubt it. But we'll meet with a few, probably.
Is it better to have a vote on your nominee before the election or after?
Well, I'd much rather have a vote before the election, because there's a lot of work to be done, and I'd much rather have it. We have plenty of time to do it. I mean, there's really a lot of time. So let's say I make the announcement on Saturday. There's a great deal of time before the election. That'll be up to Mitch in the Senate. But I'd certainly much rather have the vote. I think it sends a good signal. And it's solidarity and lots of other things. And I'm just doing my constitutional obligation. I have an obligation to do this. So I would rather see it before the election.
And you know what? Lindsey Graham says they got the votes. We got the votes. He was on Fox News, and I'll play that for you in just a second as well. But first, I want to go to Victoria. She's in Philly. So, Victoria, you are a healthcare worker.
I am. And I have to, I'm subjected as well to the temperature gun every day that I go to work in the hospital. And all summer long, I'm driving my car. I drive from Philly to Trenton in the air conditioning, and I get to work, and sure enough, my temperature is like 95 degrees. So how accurate is that? Even if I had a temperature, that gun only checks your surface. It doesn't check core. Core temperature is checked with rectal thermometer. And no, thank you. I'm never doing that. I draw the line. But I'm curious, what's going to happen when we're driving our kids to school in the winter with the heat on, 100 degrees, blasting at 90? They get out, and their surface temperature is now 99 or 100 degrees. Are they going to tell me my kid has a fever?
It's a great question. Great question you're asking.
It is. When I go to work, I know if I'm 95 degrees when I get to work, they should put me in the ICU under a heat warmer.
With chickens, they have those little heat lamps, little chickens.
Exactly.
That's where you should
and
be,
ICUs
I guess.
ICUs have those heat lamps for hypothermic patients. I've gone to work at a temp of 95. That's not normal.
Now, Victoria, why do they do this then? Do you think it's just a false sense of security? Is this the new TSA,
Absolutely.
The temperature checks?
Absolutely. False sense of security, saying you did something.
I think you're right.
You're really doing nothing, and all you're doing is increasing fear and scaring people and preventing kids from doing what kids need to be doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well said. Well said. Victoria, thank you. You are a healthcare worker, and we appreciate that. So thanks for doing that for us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good day.
You got it. Have a great day. Bill, when you went to your dentist's office, actually, I want to ask you this question. And they said, stay in your car.
Yeah.
They came out to you.
Yeah.
Was the air conditioning on?
Yes.
And then they took your temperature?
Yeah.
So you're sitting in a car that the temperature of the car is probably, what, 70 degrees?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
And then they come out and they take your temperature in the car, in the air-conditioned car. Just made me think, Victoria's point made me think of that, right?
Yeah.
So there you are in your air-conditioned car, a little chilly, right?
A little bit.
Take your temperature. Oh, you're good, Mr. Kornfeld. Come on in. You don't have a fever. You could be burning up inside with COVID.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? What am I missing here? I'm no math guy, but what am I missing here?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be the same thing, too, as if in the winter, because this is going to happen, you're sitting in your car, temperature's on, now you're 100 degrees, not because you have a fever, but because you're in a warm car and you got a coat on, right?
That happened to my wife.
No.
She had a doctor's appointment, you know, follow up after after our baby was born, and they had to take her temperature, and they went in there, and her temperature was 100.4, and my wife runs hot anyway. So they're like, you have a temperature of 104. And she's like, well, I just came from a really hot car because she had the windows open. And they're like, okay. And they took her temperature 2 minutes later, and it was 98.6.
Yep.
Wow. See? So what happened then is they go to Bill, and they go, all right, Mr. Kornfeld, open your window, please. And you're sitting in a nice, warm car, millennial. Take your temperature. 100.1. Get him! Get me. Like, and then what happens at that point?
right?
You know, the men come with the nets and they take you away to COVID hospital,
yeah,
I
like,
guess.
Yeah, what would the dentist do? Did I call my primary physician and say, listen, we need to get this guy a COVID test ASAP?
I know, you're now officially on a list. You've got a fever, Bill.
Yeah.
You've got a fever. Even though the only fever you have is for more cowbell, you're just sitting in a car with a winter coat on with the heat on.
Nice reference.
Very nice.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
By the way,
yes.
Rich, I don't know what it's like when you take baby Reagan to the pediatrician, but for us, it's we have to sit out in the car. We have to talk to the doctor over the phone. We have to tell them, you know, they ask us a bunch of questions. Then my wife has to get her temperature taken. I have to get my temperature taken. We both have to wear masks. They rush us in like a back door area. We go straight into the thing. We get examined and we leave. Same way. It's like a fire drill.
That's crazy to me. By the way, on the mask wearing, yeah. Bill, what was the NFL story you sent my way on the mask wearing?
So there were three NFL coaches. I think it was Seattle, Denver. I'm blanking on the other one. But they were fined six figures, $100,000 each, for not wearing their masks in week two of the NFL at some point. Not during the entire game, but at some point in the course of their game, particular game, they did not have their mask fully on, so they were fined six figures by the NFL.
All these guys are getting COVID tests and temperature checked, right?
And they've had the only prominent test positive of COVID was a referee that was in week one, and he was immediately quarantined, and he had no contact with anybody else. There were no positive tests in week two. So, and they were still fined six figures.
You know, Greg, they're going to start doing that here. If they catch you with your mask down below your nose, $100,000 fine right there.
Yeah.
You're going to be fined right then and there. Boom. That's crazy. NFL levies more than $1 million in fines against three teams and their coaches who didn't wear masks during the games.
They have to find a way to make some more money off the players, right?
Well, yeah, it's true. Nobody's going in the stands to buy hot dogs anymore.
Exactly.
So, you know, those cardboard cutouts are not, they don't spend as much money at games as we do.
Nope.
Imagine
cheap
that.
Skates.
Those cheap, yeah, right, exactly. Those cheap skates. 855-839-1210. Lori's and Ringo's. Lori, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Regarding the aerosolizing of the toilet flushes in public toilets as a means of spreading COVID.
Lori, that is an actual op-ed in the Washington Post from a Harvard professor who's trying to warn everybody that there's a public health danger here.
Well,
we need lids. We need a national bathroom lid mandate.
I'm all in because I live in the people's state of New Jersey, and Governor Murphy read the article because his latest mandate is that we're all going to have enemas every morning before we leave our house so that we don't need to use public toilets. So talk about getting in your business, the government getting in your business. This is it.
Listen, Lori, when is it going to come down to Joe Biden saying he wants a national toilet lid mandate?
But he'll change his position on that.
Well, that's
from
true.
From standing to sitting.
Yeah, good point. Thank you for that, Lori. Appreciate it. And then, of course, we'll have to have free bathroom lids for people. It'll be a basic human right. I'm not making this up. This is a Harvard professor writing this in the Washington Post. But I'm going to send it to the corporate shills, Bill, on our behalf as lowly employees and say we demand
seats,
bathroom justice.
Yeah.
If they're going to make us come back to this awful, awful place in this awful, awful city, then I want at least bathroom justice for me and you, millennial. I'm looking out for you.
Nobody's making you come back.
Here I am.
You're there on your own, with your own choice, from your own choice.
Don't you love it, dude? They're like, well, it's good to have you back. Show's not the same when you're not here. But feel free to work from home again if you need to. Don't they love the guilt, right? It's like my mother telling me, it's good to have you back.
You see how quick he jumped into corporate mode?
Right.
As we said.
Isn't that amazing, millennial, how quickly Greg just goes right into the corporate? Amazing. Sue on Twitter says, Sue Espante. After Bill gets his temperature checked, he has then left himself open to temperature shaming. Yes, that's right. Temperature shaming is a real thing. Jose says, let me put this out to give away a cruise. Let me put out that I was going to Mexico for my anniversary. The airline destroyed our vacation, so I'm winning even though I lost because I guess I don't know what, because, because he doesn't have to go on the cruise anymore. Well, good for you. I'm sorry to hear that, but I understand that. That check-in on social media brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. 0% financing on all cars, new cars, 20 and 21 models, where relationships matter. Rich is in North Wales. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Man.
Go ahead, sir. You kind of broke it up. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So I'm kind of the anti-Terry. I don't think that my governor, Tom Wolf, should be able to have executive power forever and ever. So he's breaking the Constitution, and why does it take so much to stop him when, like, if President Trump, you know, he tries to make an executive order to help people that have been laid off by Democratic governors, they automatically go, it's not constitutional, and they try to stop him with all forces, and he does stop the things that aren't constitutional.
Yeah, isn't that hypocrisy something, right? We've heard now from day one, Trump is a dictator, he's a fascistic dictator, he's a tyrant, he's just waiting to seize control. And you have governors who literally did exactly that with the virus by employing a fascist style of government, which is a strong central government where only they are in charge. And we're told that that's an insult, and we're told that they're just saving lives.
Yes, it's just total lies. Why, like, do we have to go to the Supreme Court to stop Tom Wolf? Like, how can he veto the Constitution? I don't understand how that's even possible.
And you know what? What's crazy about it is that this could all happen again tomorrow if we're not careful. And we're going to need a strong Supreme Court to be able to say that lockdowns can't be arbitrary and they can't be permanent, because otherwise this country is going to be destroyed in the next wave of lockdowns.
Absolutely.
Forget about saving lives from COVID. We'll destroy the Republic. The Republic will be destroyed. There's no point in surviving, because there'll be no country to survive in.
Right.
Rich, thank you. Thank you for the call. Excellent call, my friend. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Drew is in Huntington Valley. Drew, good morning.
Good morning. Hand dryers in the bathroom. You wash. You go in the hands-free bathroom. You soap, water, wash your hands, and then you put your hand on the hand dryer. You can see it on the backsplash, the water coming off your hands. It's blowing it everywhere. It's got to be worse than a toilet.
Bravo, sir. Great point. That's an excellent point. Yes. Again, why do we have those hand dryers? Environmentally efficient, right? No paper towels. Save trees. Meanwhile, first of all, they don't get your hands dry. Can we all agree on this point?
Never.
Never. You got to be in there for like 40. You got to hit the button twice. And now it's blowing all that stuff all over the bathroom. Excellent point, Drew. All right, sir. Well done. Thank you for that. Drew, you there?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Good job, Drew.
I'm just thinking about wiping my hands on my shirt after using one of them.
Yeah, right. That's not good, because now you've been in the bathroom. After you flushed, it's all sprayed on your clothes because there's no toilet lid. See what I mean? All right. Thank you, Drew, for the call. I appreciate it very much. Yes, Greg, you were going to say?
No. We're solving the great bathroom dilemma of 2020. In this program today.
Think of all the environmental lunacy that's been led to now us being less safe as people. First of all, washing machines, which now use a half a cup of water to dry a load of laundry for 67 people, right? Water efficiency.
Yeah. Yep.
These toilets that don't flush anymore.
Yep.
Hand washing the sinks that turn on and turn off using some sort of weird radar mechanism that I've never been able to figure out. And sometimes they turn on and sometimes they don't. But they turn on for like 8 seconds. I'm supposed to wash my hands for 30. They're on for 8. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
Then also these machines in the bathroom to be environmentally friendly that don't really get your hands super dry, so that you shake them like a dog, right? As you shake them all over the place.
You turn those things on and you end up just wiping your hands on your shirt anyway, because it doesn't get them sufficiently dry.
Yeah, this is what I mean. The insanity of all this. I still think if Donald Trump comes out tomorrow and puts an executive order mandating the end to high efficiency appliances, election is over. It's over. He's going to make Reagan's 84 landslide look like he lost. Nobody likes these friggin' things, do they?
No.
See, if I were president, I would end those automatic dryers in Washington. I would end them. I would say they're illegal.
Yep.
They're illegal. There's no way that you can have those things. I laughed. I took my son yesterday someplace, and we went into the public bathroom, and every other sink has caution tape on it for social distancing. But there's one hand dryer that everybody has to use.
Yep. Wait in line, buddy.
Yeah, wait in line. So explain that to me. How dumb are we getting as a society? Can I ask, in the name of whatever this is, because COVID or whatever, how dumb are we getting here with all this stuff?
Yep.
855-839-1210. Listen, you're going to be in your home a lot this winter, whether there's a lockdown or not. And I want to make sure you're comfortable and you're not spending a lot of money, wasting money, I should say, heating your house. Well, that's where USA Insulation comes in. Our sponsor of this hour of Nonstop Talk. USA Insulation wants to make sure that you are not uncomfortable. And whenever your house is too hot or too cold, you start thinking about what you're going to do in the future. You know, like replace your windows or get a new furnace. But what if you don't need to do that? What if you just need better insulation? USA Premium Foam Insulation completely changes how your home feels. Whether watching games, spending family time, working at home, it's all better because you're comfortable. And USA Insulation pays for itself over time from your utility savings. So instead of waiting for one day to be comfortable, call USA Insulation today. 267-551-1900. 267-551-1900. Save up to $1,000 ahead of the busy winter season. 267-551-1900 or usainsulation.net. usainsulation.net.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Dawn's off today, so there's no news, but I will tell you that the big story continues to be the Supreme Court. The president has five names. I played you that clip. Lindsey Graham says we have the votes. The Republicans have the votes. The president's going to announce on Friday or Saturday, and then we will be full speed ahead with that. That is the big story of the day today. It's brought to you by Burlington. Burlington is open, and Burlington's back to school, back to shopping. They are stocking those shelves again. So go to Burlington because Burlington is back and better than ever. Burlington stores. That's right. 855-839-1210. Let me go to Sal. He's in Westchester. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Love the show. Comment and a question. The comment is about face masks. I come from the pharmaceutical industry. There's not a single study that proves that it works versus it's not for this particular virus. But even if it does, no one's wearing them right. If you're not sick, they do nothing. And if you're sick, they're saturated in 15 minutes. My question for you, though, is how does it so often happen that a narrative on the Democratic side, which is not even truthful, just becomes mainstream narrative and we debate about the merits of the narrative on whether or not the initial narrative is even true? What do you think?
I think that this has become one of those issues in society right now where it's dogma to challenge it. So you can't even challenge it. You're not allowed to challenge it. If you do that, you're blasted as being the worst person on earth. But like I said the other day, you know, for example, when the CDC, the World Health Organization, says right on their website, do not wear a face mask when you're exercising. Do you know that in my state of New Jersey, at least, it's required? You have to wear one when you're at the gym. The World Health Organization specifically says don't wear one when you're working out because you get wet. That causes microorganisms to grow, and it could result in breathing problems. But these governors have decided that that's what they want, and so they're forcing it. And how stupid is that, right?
Oh, it's insane. Same thing with Wolf in Pennsylvania. The guy is a nutcase, and he just doesn't care.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Sal, thanks. Go ahead.
About the hand dryers, all you're doing is distributing all the germs in the air, around the air again, in your face and on your hands.
Yeah, but in the name of saving trees, Sal, you know?
Oh, gosh, don't get me started, Rich. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Appreciate that. Joan is in Marlton. Joan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, Joan?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you for a long time, and you're talking about the bathroom issue. About putting lids on toilets.
Yeah.
How many men in this world in their own homes put the lid down?
That's a great question. It seems to be something we're not very good at, are we?
That's right. I know that for a fact.
It's a good point, Joan, because then you'd have to mandate that everybody puts the lid down in the public bathrooms, and that would have to come with a fine, jail time. You're right. It could be more of a mess.
Yes. I found that to be quite amusing.
We'd have to have the bathroom police.
Right. Right? And then the man that probably made this up doesn't put his down.
Thank you, Joan. Appreciate it. Excellent call. Well done, my dear. You have a great day. 855-839-1210. Yeah, it'll have to be, you know, the bathroom, like law and order police coming in and go, sir, did you put that seat down in the public bathroom? Dun, dun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't get my dumb sound effects to work. This bothers me that I can't get these things to work. One of these days, right?
You might as well not even be in studio since you don't have any of the advantages
Bill,
of being
in studio.
Bill,
you think he wants me to start doing the show from home again? You think he's lobbying me a little bit?
I think he's dropping some very, very subtle hints.
You are my boss, technically speaking. Just mandate it. Make it so. It's a very complicated relationship because, well, we're on the show. I'm really the boss, but then he's really the boss, so it's a very complicated situation, Bill.
Yeah,
you see,
yeah. It's not that complicated.
He's like, it's not that complicated. I'm just the boss.
To be fair, he's also claimed that this is his show.
He has claimed that this is his show. He's taken over in like a very, very third world kind of a coup, I would say, right?
That's right.
It's amazing. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let's see here. Frank is in Wilmington. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to fill in a blank about the hand dryers in the bathrooms.
Yeah.
How many times have you gone in there and, you know, they only have a hand dryer? So you wash your hands really well, okay, you get your hands nice and dry, and now you have to leave, and you got to open that door. You have to grab that handle. How do you know who before you washed their hands, if at all? I mean, at least when they had paper towels, you could use a piece of paper towel to open the door and then toss the paper towel. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Great point. So you got to use your shirt then. You got to use your dirty shirt to touch the door handle. Now you go to sit down for lunch, you touch your dirty shirt, all the germs that were on the door handle are now back on your hands. So what the hell's the point of washing your hands?
Exactly.
But we can't have paper towels, Frank, because of the trees.
I know. We got to hug the trees, protect the spotted owls and little salamanders and whatever the hell else they got, you know, roaming the woods.
Frank, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. It's an excellent point. Thank you. 855-839-1210. This is all lunacy. I'm telling you, so much of this stuff is lunacy that it is amazing to me. I sit around and I observe this stuff all the time, and I just have to laugh. I have to laugh because all these rules that are in place are so arbitrary right now with so many different things, you know? It's just, I don't know. To me, it's hysterical. When you look around, and I think in during this COVID time in which we're living in, you can notice more and more of these little idiosyncrasies and inconsistencies and just take note of them and go, well, how does that make any sense? And if you ask people, they'll tell you, we don't think it does make sense, but we have to do it because that's what we're told to do. So there you go. And that's how this happens. It's amazing to me. 855-839-1210. Kevin is in South Jersey. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. So, first-time caller. Listen, I just wanted to talk to you real quick about Lisa Murkowski, Sue Collins. I think these people are doing themselves, by the way, I'm speaking pragmatically, doing themselves a huge disservice. I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to straddle the fence, play both sides. American voters typically don't like wishy-washiness and don't reward it. Lisa Murkowski has 2 years to right her ship. Sue Collins is probably done. They're straddling the fence because they're afraid, they're cowardice. But you look, obviously Democrats are not going to support them, correct? I mean, they're going to vote for the Democrats.
Right.
And now they disassociated themselves and upset a lot of Republicans as well.
Yeah.
Lisa, again, she's got 2 years to do the right thing, to figure out what she wants to be when she grows up. Sue is probably doomed. And by the way, Mitt Romney also has a couple of years to figure out what he's going to do, because otherwise these people, Mitt Romney is going to be primaried. Utah's not going to flip. It's not going to flip Democrat. There's just going to be somebody who probably is also going to be a Mormon. He's going to challenge Mitt Romney. He will win the primary on a pro-Trump ticket or pro-Trump policy ticket. I'll put it that way. So, again, these people are doing themselves a disservice. They think they're helping themselves. Besides screwing over the country, they're doing themselves personally a disservice.
Well said. Well said. They are doing themselves a disservice. And what they'll never understand is that no matter what you do, the left is never going to like you. So stop trying to please them and win them over. It's like if tomorrow I started doing a show hoping to win over MSNBC P1s, they'll listen because they hate me, but they're never going to like me. So I'm not going to try to make them like me. They're never going to like me, period. All right, 100%. Kevin.
It's cowardice and lack of conviction.
Yeah, just know your audience. I mean, Kevin, thank you for the call. Know your audience. I mean, that's the key to life. I'm telling you, I've said this a billion times in both my professional career, inside and outside of radio. Just know your audience. Not that complicated. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, the Democrats, the left, are never going to like them. They'll always find a reason for why they're still terrible people. So play on your team, man. Chris Matthews wrote a book years ago called Hardball before he completely lost his mind. And he has a great line in that book. Dance with the one who brung you to the dance. Be loyal and stay with your dance partner at the dance. It's not that hard. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Listen, speaking of being loyal to people, I'm very loyal to Emmons Roofing because they did a great job with my home. Windows, doors, siding, and a roof, a 50-year roof that I have on that house, it's great. And I'm so grateful for the work that Emmons did that I would love for you to reach out to them as well. Matt and his wife, Steph, they're terrific people. They've extended their 12-month same-as-cash financing for everybody in the audience, first of all. 12-month same-as-cash financing. So as you're working from home, or if you are back in your office and you want new windows or doors, well, reach out to Emmons. They do that. They do a great job with that. And the winter's coming, so if you need a new roof, don't wait. Now's a perfect time to get it done. You don't want to wait until there's big storms and then a small problem becomes a very expensive one. Reach out to Emmons today and take advantage of their 12-month same-as-cash financing offer. When I need work done at my home, I called Emmons, and you should too. Give Emmons a call for a free estimate and to take advantage of their special financing offer today. 856-885-6677. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. EmmonsRoofing.com, 856-885-6677. EmmonsRoofing.com.
Talk radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.